Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
1 billion, that is the new estimate for how many animals have died in the Australia wildfires, which have also killed at least 26 people. The fires have been linked by scientists to climate change, and one of the biggest sources of carbon emissions is the burning of fossil fuels like coal. Well, in Australia, coal is big business. It's one of the main coal producers on Earth. And a man who used to be a coal executive has done a 180 and is now a leading voice for urgent action on climate change. Ian Dunlop was the chair of the Australian Coal Association. He's now a senior member of the advisory board for the Breakthrough National Centre for Climate Restoration. He joins us from Sydney. Ian Dunlop, welcome.
Good morning, Jeremy. Nice to talk to you.
Now, coal is not directly causing the fires in Australia, but the use of fossil fuels does increase carbon emissions. Are people, including you, putting some of the blame for the intensity of the fires on the use of coal?
Well, you've got to go back to the question of climate change itself and what's causing it. And the fires are quite clearly linked to increasing global temperatures, changing weather patterns, which have dried out the landscape. And we're now in the midst of the worst drought I think this country's probably ever experienced on the East Coast. And climate change, in turn, is being driven by the increase in fossil fuels. Now, we are a major fossil fuel producer. You know, the largest or second largest coal exporter in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There is no question that the continued use of coal is impacting the climate. And obviously our coal industry has to think very hard about that. So that is the big argument that is currently going on. Obviously the immediate priority is to stop these fires and to help people who've been badly affected. But there's no question that we have to start to address the coal issue, because our governments have consistently refused to seriously address climate change and tried to protect the coal industry, and you can't keep doing that.
Well, and in fact, your Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is one of coal's vocal defenders. He took a lump of coal to the country's House of Representatives in 2017 when he was yes. The Treasurer. Listen to this.
Mr. Speaker, this is coal. Don't be afraid.
The
Don't be scared.
The Treasurer knows the rule on props.
It's coal. It was dug up by men and women who work and live in the electorates of those who sit opposite. From the Hunter Valley, as the member for Hunter would know.
Now, here in this country, President Trump has been a vocal defender of the coal industry as well, but I haven't seen him do something like that.
No, I mean, I think it was a particularly stupid thing to do on the part of our Prime Minister, and we reminded him at the time we wouldn't forget. Unfortunately, our political system has locked themselves into the position that it's been going on since our first Prime Minister, John Howard, our Prime Minister back in the 1990s, in the days of the initial Kyoto Protocol, took a denialist position on the problem. And it's been the case with the conservative side of politics ever since. Now, I mean, the Labour Party, the opposition, the more progressive side in some ways, have gone down a similar track, unfortunately, and not really accepting the implications of climate change.
What would the Australian economy look like without coal? How big of a part of the economy is it?
Well, it's not as big a part as it used to be. I mean, it's certainly a major part of the economy. But the fact is that this country is blessed with a range of potential renewable options. You know, we're one of the driest continents on Earth. We also have very high levels of sunlight, high wind conditions. So we can prosper in a low-carbon economy. But make no mistake, I mean, everybody is going, there's going to be a cost to this. It's not just going to happen easily. It is going to have an impact on economies all around the world. But the costs of doing nothing are far greater, as we're now starting to see in Australia, because the impact on the economy of what is now happening in the last, sort of 3 or 4 or 5 weeks is going to be enormous.
Ian Dunlop, as we said at the top, you are a former CEO from the coal industry. What made you change your mind about coal and decide to take action like this on climate change?
Well, I was in the fossil fuel industry from the beginning of my career in the 1950s. And the issue of climate change was around then, not in the sense of it being an immediate priority to address, but in the sense that sooner or later, if you believe the science, it was going to become a problem. Now, as time's gone by over the years, the science has improved dramatically. The evidence has got clearer and clearer. And there comes a point when you have to do something about it. So I left I chaired the Australian Coal Association in the late 80s when we actually did a lot of work on what the alternatives for coal would be for the industry at that time. But I left the industry in the end of the 80s, early 90s, and have spent, I guess, the time since then trying to move in the opposite direction. So it wasn't a road to Damascus transformation. It was a recognition, I think, over a long period that you just couldn't ignore this any longer.
I've only been to Australia once, and I remember thinking that it was one of the most naturally beautiful places I'd ever seen. And then I read this op-ed the other day in the New York Times on January 3rd, and I want to read you a little bit from it. This is from writer Richard Flanagan, who says, Australia today is ground zero for the climate catastrophe. Its glorious Great Barrier Reef is dying. Its World Heritage rainforests are burning. Its giant kelp forests have largely vanished. Numerous towns have run out of water or are about to. And now the vast continent is burning on a scale never before seen. And yet, incredibly, the response of Australia's leaders to this unprecedented national crisis has been not to defend their country, but to defend the fossil fuel industry, a big donor to both major parties, as if they were willing the country to its doom. What is your reaction to that?
He's absolutely right. I mean, that is exactly what's been happening. That's what happens if you deny reality for 30 years, which our political system has basically done. Many of our corporate leaders have done. That's starting to change, but there are many corporate leaders and directors in this country who still will go to their graves believing climate change is crap, in the words of one of our immortal prime ministers. You know, they've been able to dominate the debate in this country with the help of the conservative media, particularly the Murdoch press, who I think are, you know, very active in the same way in the United States with Fox and what have you.
Are they covering these fires? The Murdoch press is in Australia. Are they covering these fires as part of climate change, or are they not using those words?
Well, I mean, what's happened is that as it's got clearer and clearer that these things were happening and that climate change is a major factor behind them, the people like the Murdoch press have become ever more hysterical in trying to deny it. You know, they're just, it's a propaganda machine. It's not a proper news organization any longer. And that became patently clear in the election we had in May early this year, where Morrison's Conservative government unexpectedly won. And the help they received from the Murdoch press was phenomenal. And it's complete disinformation. So, you know, they now have a lot to, they're responsible for a lot of these outcomes. And I think the community in this country is starting to realize that that's what's happened. And they won't accept it any longer. No, it's going to be a difficult transition because these people have a lot of power and they've chosen to use it in extremely damaging ways historically, and moving them away from that position is going to be difficult.
Are you optimistic?
You have to be in this game. It was always going to be a long-term project to change the economic system away from fossil fuels. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, the world has benefited greatly from the use of fossil fuels since the Industrial Revolution, particularly since World War II. But there comes a point we can have too much of a good thing, and we've reached that point. And the situation, quite simply, is what climate change now represents is an immediate existential threat to the future of human civilization. So we're faced with an absolutely critical choice at this point. We either now start to seriously address this and get people like Murdoch out of the way before they kill us, and put in place the types of innovation that are available and are now in fact economic, even without the, you know, the subsidies given to the fossil fuel industry, and get on with the job. Now, we know what to do. What we need is leaders who can actually do that and get the politicians out of the way who are stopping this actually happening. And that's going to be the big debate here in Australia in the next few weeks.
That's Ian Dunlop, who is a former international oil, gas, and coal executive, former chair of the Australian Coal Association as well, and is now an advocate for urgent action on climate change, joining us from Sydney, Australia. Ian, thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. Good to talk to you.
and you can read some of Ian Dunlop's writing on climate change at hereandnow.org.